Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all this morning as we come to consider the topic forgiveness. We've actually had a slight change in the last three words. What, why, how? When I initially gave Tim the title for the talk, I hadn't quite prepared it properly by that time, so it flows better this way. So this talk title, forgiveness, what, why, how? It's hopefully as simple as its name. I want us to today look at what forgiveness is, why we should forgive or show forgiveness, and how we have been showing forgiveness and how we can show it. I like to think most of us here know what forgiveness is or what it means to forgive. The meaning of the word forgive is to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. And of course, forgiveness is the action of the word forgive, therefore meaning the process of showing someone that you have forgiven them. So, as we probably all know, we forgive when someone comes seeking forgiveness from us over something they may have done wrong that's potentially caused upset or even sometimes awkwardness. That being said, sometimes we will forgive when we haven't been asked by someone for forgiveness. This act of forgiveness will sometimes provide us with a feeling of comfort because we know the person we are forgiven doesn't know that they have done anything wrong or doesn't think they've done anything wrong to harm or upset us. So this then poses the question of, do we have to show forgiveness through though to our peers, to our family, to our friends? You might have your own answers to this, such as, yes, we always have to forgive, or no, we don't, because every situation is different when it comes to forgiveness. To answer the question properly that we've just mentioned, we should look at the Bible and what it says about forgiveness. First of all, I want to look at the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer that some of us may have heard at school or throughout the years. It's a prayer that asks God to provide for us, protect us, and forgive us from our sins. And we find it in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. So if you come with me there to Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. And it reads as the following: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power forever. Amen. It's a simple yet to the point prayer, as I'm sure you all agree, a prayer which provides an example and structure for personal prayer. When we've heard this prayer in whatever setting this might have been, we will have known it to be called the Lord's Prayer. Often, though, we miss out what is said by Jesus after he gives the Lord's Prayer. So if we go to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 14 to 15, we read the following: For if you forgive their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So here is the answer to our question we previously asked. In the Lord's Prayer, we have the words, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we have the words of Jesus recorded that we have just read. Jesus' words are clear, meaning we must forgive all wrongdoings against us, whether we like it or not. If we want forgiveness of our sins, we have to forgive others. And this is because God is willing to forgive all sins. So therefore, we must do the same as him. We must follow his example and show grace to those around us when they do wrong, when they wrong us, and even when we might feel like they don't deserve it. We even have a parable in the Bible which tells us about forgiveness too. This parable comes after one of Jesus' disciples asked him how many times he must show forgiveness to someone, to which Jesus said, not seven times, but 70 times seven, basically meaning indefinitely. We should always forgive no matter what. And then after this, he then tells Peter and the disciples a following parable. And this is in Matthew 18, so please come with me there now. And we're going to read verses 23 to 35 together. Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported this to their master, all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, because you had pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debts. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And this is a powerful story which Jesus gave to his disciples at the time, and his words are still relevant for us today. Effectively, we've been told to show him forgiveness, just as we have been shown forgiveness. In the sense of the parable, a servant owed his master 10,000 talents. One talent is equivalent to 6,000 denarii. And the average daily wage back when Jesus was given this parable for a skilled worker was 1 denarii. This therefore shows that this debt the servant had with his master, he had no hope of repaying. Additionally, it was a considerable amount more than the 100 denarii the other servant owed him. Yet the servant with a debt of 10,000 talents, this unforgivable debt, couldn't forgive the considerably smaller debt owed to him by the other servant, the servant who had so much forgiven by him, by the king, decided to punish the servant who owed such a small debt. He decided to have him imprisoned until this poor servant could pay off the debt he owed. This unpayable debt, which the king forgave, is similar to the one we owe God. We owe him a debt that cannot be paid off by anything we do. Yet God, in his grace and mercy, has forgiven us our sins. He sent Jesus to this earth to live a life following his Father's will, submitting to death upon the cross so that he could be the perfect sacrifice required to atone for our sins. Because he was sinless, Jesus was raised from the dead. And due to these facts, we have the hope of forgiveness and salvation if we believe in God and have faithfully follow Jesus' example of love, compassion, and forgiveness to all men. God has shown his love towards us by providing Jesus as our Saviour, and he is willing to forgive our many sins if we acknowledge our shortcomings and weaknesses. Therefore, just as God shows continual and immeasurable forgiveness to us, we must show it in return to others, sincerely from the bottom of our hearts, no matter how difficult that may be. In the parable, the forgiveness shown by the king was forgiveness of an unpayable debt owed. But in our lives, forgiveness shown to others can be for any wrongdoing against us. We touched on why we should forgive a moment ago, and that is because God is willing to forgive us for everything we have done wrong. And these wrongdoings that we do in life are called sins. We need to ask for forgiveness from God so that we can have the hope of the free gift, which comes from the forgiveness of sins. That is the promised gift of eternal life in God's kingdom. I want us to now think a little bit about the word sin. The Old Testament of the Bible tells us how sin was introduced into the world. If you've grown up in a Christian family, you will have heard of the story Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us God created Adam and Eve, the first two humans to live on the earth, who first of all resided in the Garden of Eden, where they were both naked and kept care of the land that they lived in. Adam and Eve were given free will and did no sin until Eve was tempted by the serpent to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Once she had done this act of disobedience and persuaded Adam to do the same, then sin was introduced into the world because they had broken God's commandments. After they had eaten from the tree, they became aware of everything around them and tried to hide their sin from God and also hide their nakedness in crafting clothes out of fig leaves. After God had found them and asked them about their sin, he cast them out of the Garden of Eden and told them the consequences of their sin, which is told for us in Genesis 3. So if you come with me to there now, it's Genesis 3, and we'll read verses 14 to 19. And reasons the following. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all of the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have not listened to the voice of your wife, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So here we read that there were consequences for both Adam and Eve. Eve at this point was named the woman until she was given her name Eve by God in verse 20 of Genesis 3, if you're wondering why we can't see her named yet. And there was to be consequences for everyone involved in sin of taking the fruit that was forbidden. The serpent involvement in tempting Eve in the garden had consequences. It was cursed to be feared and hated above all animals. The woman Eve and all women since would have to endure pain in childbearing. She brought forth children into the world. And Adam, for following his wife's enticing words, would be cursed with the pain of working hard to live and to eventually die from the sin that had now entered the world. And when we read that God made a covering for Adam and Eve, and that's in verse 21, where an innocent animal was killed, skinned, and its blood shed, so that Adam and Eve could have a suitable covering for their nakedness, a covering for the sin that they had committed and for the sin that they introduced into the world. In the New Testament of the Bible, we are told about sin and what the consequence of sin is. We already know that because we read, in Genesis 3, that we would die and turn to dust because that was how Adam was created. So come with me now to Romans chapter 6. And we'll read verse 23. And this is where we read more about the sin and the gift that comes from God with asking for forgiveness for our sins. So Romans 6, verse 23, and we read the following. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This verse here is quite short, but also powerful, because we read that the wages of sin is death, but because we sin just like Adam and Eve did, we are too worthy of the curse of sin, which is death. But God has shown us grace and given us the free gift of eternal life that is provided through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. And this then brings us on to how can we show forgiveness and how have we been shown forgiveness? So how can we show forgiveness? As we looked at in the parable from Jesus earlier in our talk, we can show forgiveness by doing something that is totally kind and given out of kindness of our hearts. In that example, the man was forgiven of a huge debt. And I'm not saying that we're going to find ourselves in a position, but in that same position, but we might find ourselves forgiving someone for something hurtful that they have said or for something that they have done wrong to us. Sometimes that showing of forgiveness can make us feel better. It can make us feel like a weight has been lifted off our shoulders. And we can forgive someone and move on from a problem that has been there and continue to live on in our day-to-day lives. God forgives us of all our sins when we seek forgiveness from him. The amazing thing about God's forgiveness is that he chooses not to remember our sins. He chooses not to dwell on our sins. This is true forgiveness, where our many sins are no longer remembered because they have been forgiven through our faith in the sacrifice of God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Forgiveness, as we already said, has been given to us from God through the Lord Jesus. This forgiveness hasn't been granted to us, though, because we deserve it, because we've earned it, nor because we've been entitled to it, but rather because God is a forgiving God, whose grace knows no bounds. This grace is shown to us through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. And in Ephesians, it tells us that we've been saved by grace. And this is in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. You don't have to turn there now. I'll read it for us. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So here it shows us that we have been saved for our faith and by the grace of God. And this is why forgiveness from God is so special. We have no right to be forgiven for our sins. As I've stated before, it's not a rite of passage or something that we deserve. As we've already considered, we are sinful and have a sinful nature. Therefore, we deserve death and not forgiveness. Because of God's good grace, we are forgiven of our sins and have total forgiveness. We don't deserve it, but God has chosen to forgive us as he wants us to follow him and inherit this free gift of eternal life in his kingdom, which he has provided for us. And this following this forgiving nature of God is confirmed to us in John chapter 3. So if you come with me there now, we'll quickly read verses 16 and 17. Some words you may well know well. And it reads as the following. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. So this here shows us that God doesn't want us to die, and that sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, wasn't a punishment for us. It was in fact his way of saving us. God sent Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and therefore gave a way for the Jews, and indeed us now, who are Gentiles, to be saved and to gain everlasting life through the death of Jesus and through the forgiveness of sins from God. It also shows us the importance of forgiveness. God, as we have seen so far today, wants us to be saved, but to be saved, we must show forgiveness, just as God has done for us. We need to show that we are willing to forgive. So how can we show forgiveness? Well, we can't forgive sins or save people from their sins. But what we can do is show our forgiving nature whenever possible. We need to show in our lives the nature Jesus demonstrated in his interactions with sinners. Even at his death, as he was crucified, Jesus said to the Roman soldier who were involved in his crucifixion, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." we are unlikely to ever be in a situation where we need to show such compassion and forgiveness. But we do need to learn from Jesus, because he manifested or showed God's character in all aspects of his life. And personally, when it comes to forgiving others, it'll be something that's sometimes hard to do. Sometimes it will be easy, and sometimes we might not even feel that we want to show forgiveness. But we should always remember that we must forgive, even if it takes a bit of time to do so. In life, there'll be times when we need to step aside from a situation, take a step back, breathe, and think before we can show the love and kindness that forgiveness brings. How we show forgiveness is totally up to us as individuals. There's no right or wrong answer. Sometimes it will be verbally and sometimes physically by the actions that we do. But either way, we need to show forgiveness if we are to be worthy of gaining forgiveness from our Heavenly Father. God wants us to be forgiven for our sins. And I hope too that you are willing to forgive others for their wrongdoings, just as God has forgiven ours. Thank you.